Hello, everybody. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and we are at Comic-Con.
We are. We're in beautiful downtown San Diego.
It's nice. It's a little overcast.
It is a little overcast.
A little cooler.
Yeah. And, yeah, yesterday was hot.
Yeah.
Hot day at the con. Episode 225, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Our annual,
on the road again.
On the road. Our annual Comic-Con episode. We are in yet another hotel.
Yes, yeah, it's great.
Much better one than yours.
Much better, yes, yeah, our hotel is horrible.
When you say not another yet another hotel, it's actually two just today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we checked out of ours and now we're at Rick's.
I haven't been on the road in 5 weeks.
And yet still always in hotels.
Still in hotels. But I was telling you, I forgot how to travel all of a sudden.
Oh, it was hilarious. Yeah, every 5 minutes I was getting a call. Hey, I forgot the charger.
I forgot this.
I need my water bottle. And I forgot my... Can I borrow your shoes?
You guys have known for years. You guys have known for a year you were coming back to co-host the Kung Fu Extravaganza. And you still get that shitty hotel.
Yeah.
You knew for a year.
Well, this year, you finally were... You took the initiative. Yes. This is our guest, by the way, Rick Myers.
Hi, everybody. Yes.
For our annual Comic-Con and action movie update. But you said, okay.
He's going to help us out.
Enough.
Yeah.
And you booked us a hotel for next year.
Yeah.
I ask you, listeners, you know for a year you're going to be coming back to San Diego Comic-Con, and you wait. How long did you wait before you got the hotel?
We booked it in June.
Oh, that seems about,
you booked it in June?
Yeah, we booked it in June,
And you still couldn't get a better place than that?
No.
Nothing's wrong with that place, by the way. But it is very, very far away.
It is
shitty.
It is shitty. But other than that,
it was fine.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
I'm in a palace here.
Yes, you're this. We're
two blocks away from the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You're 5 miles away. Yeah. At least 5 miles away from the Comic-Con.
And we had to take a shuttle bus. Oh, and they say free breakfast. And you go in this room, and they're this, like, these...
There's these prison guards.
These prison... They're trustees.
Yeah.
They're convicts who have become trusted. And they give you... They ration out the eggs. And
they make you feel guilty. Do you want pancakes? Well, yeah. All right. How many? One or two?
One or two.
Yeah.
Half a one or a full one.
Like, I wasn't going to go back for seconds, because they would have been like, no.
And I still bet I'm paying less than you.
You probably are.
So I said to them.
Although I will say,
I'll get your hotel next year.
Yeah. Although I will say Sunday, I'm coming back with my family on Sunday. Get any hotel you want for a much discounted.
Well, that's a secret. If anyone wants to come to Comic-Con and you're it's too much money. Literally, Sunday night, the last night. The hotels are dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of space.
Plenty of space, Everyone has availability.
I shouldn't tell your audience this because you can do that all week. Because what happens all the time is networks and studios drop out at the last second. And my friends who I'm doing a little work for, doing interviews and stuff with some of the stars, they got at the convention hotel the week before they came. They got a beautiful room overlooking the water. You know, so if you play it right and you're tenacious, it's certainly a lot better and a lot easier than working through the official channels where you have to do it within 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And you're lucky to
get anything.
Yeah, it's like a radio call-in show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like one of these things where they go, are you with the Comic-Con? You go, no. No, I'm not. I'm just vacationing with the family.
Yeah.
Do you have a room? Well, as a matter of fact, we do. So, yeah.
So you call the hotel directly.
Call the hotel directly. But now it's too late. Now that I've told your listeners it's going to be bad, it's never going to work again. We're doomed.
But now, Rick, I guess not many people know, do we have the dates for Comic-Con 2015?
We do, but I don't have them yet. I will have them by the end of the Comic-Con this year. We're in the middle of it.
They announce at the end of it, kind of?
We're recording. We're on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Saturday and Sunday, so by Sunday we'll have the dates and people will start running. Because I think I told you, 140,000 tickets that were gone in 90 seconds from a crowd wanting them of 900,000.
Oh my God.
If these guys ever wanted to go crazy, if businessmen take over this and fans, it's taken away by the fans, they will make this just a monstrous fuster cluck. Because they'll put out a million tickets, and a million people will show up.
Where would we put them?
That's the question. It's bad enough now.
I know.
Now you get to do your impersonation of a blood clot.
Yeah.
Going through these halls.
There's certain times where you literally can't move.
Right. But I've also loved the fact that the organizers have now stretched the convention from the convention center to the entire city.
That has helped so much.
That outdoor interactive park thing is so cool.
It's really fun.
And it's everywhere.
And then you also see, like, just outside one of the hotels, there's this giant Assassin's Creed obstacle course you can run with people dressed up in costumes.
And there's stages everywhere, and there's all this cool stuff.
Lincoln Park played last night.
Yeah.
Whoa! That's awesome.
And my favorite thing is that when a studio or a network buys out a restaurant or a hotel... Last year, they literally had a Bates Motel in town. And when you go in, everything is refashioned. Yeah. The menus are refashioned to reflect the show that they're promoting.
Oh, cool.
Attractive people come to your table and give you freebies based on this stuff. So I'm planning maybe even tomorrow to just not even go to the convention center at all, and I'm just going to walk through the city and
places. There's a huge Game of Thrones thing outside the convention center, and the line was huge just yesterday.
Yeah. Well, the coolest thing I saw was the Sharknado protests.
Oh!
They're holding up sides, and someone on a bullhorn goes, "What do we want? More sharks! Where do we want them? In tornadoes!" Like, and then the God, what was that? All the guys in kilts?
The new Starz show.
Yeah.
Containment or something.
No, I can't remember.
Dang it.
Now.
One of my roommates in here in the palatial suite is a Sharknado girl.
Really?
Yeah.
She just left. I'm sorry. She had to go to work at 11. So.
Well, they're walking around with these signs that have shark bites in them.
Yeah. Do they get to keep their shark cowls?
I'll ask her. I don't think so. She doesn't bring it back with her at night.
Yeah,
so.
Everything must be rough. Yeah.
The Sharknado producers so get what they're doing. It's called Sharknado 2, the second one. That's what it's called. Colon, the second one.
You think they watch 22 Jump Street? I think
they know. Well, the funny thing, and it's escaping me right now, but the guys with kilts and the Sharknado people got in the middle of, I think, Front Street or something, and they're like, and the cops are like, get out of the street! It was awesome. It was this, like, nerd riot. Oh, man.
Yeah, they closed the entrance to the gas lamp, an entire block, so we wouldn't have room to move.
Mm-hmm.
They're being very smart.
I can't remember the name of it, too, but it's a, like, time-traveling, like, romance story.
Mm-hmm.
It seems sort of Highlander-ish.
Is it Outlander?
But romance.
That's
Robert Kirkman's new show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guy, you know, so he doesn't be a Walking Dead wonder.
Right.
You know. So, yeah. I mean, it's as usual. The quality of the stars is less, but they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who's not here that I was grievously disappointed about is the new Doctor Who. I'm just a rabid Whovian. And the fact that he wasn't going to be here, I just said,
oh, man.
So sad.
Well, I think that's the thing. Everybody talk about how crowded it is. But I still come back to the same thing, and we were talking about this on our last episode with Sam Tripoli, is I don't think I wanted to leave San Diego. I love San Diego.
Neither do the organizers.
Yeah.
That's why they're capping it at 140.
Right.
Because there is, if you want to see what, I think I mentioned this before, if you want to see what Comic-Con looks like run by businessmen, New York Comic-Con. You know, for businessmen, for profit. While Comic-Con is still by fans, for fans.
But now it doesn't have any association with...
No. Matter of fact, they won't let me do my Kung Fu show there. Because their attitude is, you're San Diego. We don't want any crossover.
Really?
We're our own thing, yeah.
So Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, none of them can go over there?
No, they're all go. they can go.
Of course, yeah.
Because not specific. Yeah. They're not specific to the San Diego Comic-Con. My thing is the San Diego Comic-Con, you know, extravaganza, although I rebranded it this year.
Well, that's
to have my name as part of the title.
Smart.
So, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, cunning, yeah. I mean, that's the way you do it. So forever it will be, you know, Rick Myers' Kung Fu extravaganza. Mm-hmm. Now starring... Eric Jacobus. He is a guest star.
Now, where is there plans, like, since you have the inside track and everything, is there plans to expand the convention center into the bay?
Yes and no. Because let's put it this way, there are plans.
Uh-huh.
But the rest of the year, according to the most accurate information, which means taxi drivers, is that the rest of the year has been horrible for San Diego. The business has really dropped off. And that's one of the reasons you can see it over the history of the Comic-Con that sometimes San Diego loves us and sometimes San Diego hates us. This year, San Diego loves us unlike any other time in the history. Thank God you're here is the basic attitude this year. And so they don't even have to fake liking us. They're just, please, please, please.
Come. Oh, because all the convention money dropped off?
Apparently. Again, according to our reliable sources, the taxi drivers. Yeah.
So you're saying they don't have the money to expand the convention?
They have the money, but the question is it going to be worth it just for these couple of days?
Right.
To expend all that and the union stuff and everything else. Yeah. Or whether we're just going to, since it's clear the Comic-Con fully intend to keep it capped at about 140,000
tickets. Just expand more into the outside areas.
Right. Which I think is better in the long run anyway. You get air, you get sunlight. The relief on everybody's face when they come out of that convention center.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, it's by putting it out into the city, it makes the aisle. I thought yesterday was going to be Mob City after preview night on Wednesday. I could get around.
No, you can
it was manageable. The floor was very manageable yesterday.
The floor was manageable, but then also, too, like when it, the fact that it overtakes the whole gas lamp district is so cool because, like,
wherever you go, you're at Comic-Con, even if you're not in the convention.
The Sci-Fi Channel bought out a restaurant.
Yeah, they do that every year.
And that was so cool. And they had their mannequins for whatever show they're pushing. Yeah. And it was just like...
But it's more than the gas lamp, too. Right. It's more than the gas lamp. It's spread out all over
Petco
the place.
Field.
Petco Field.
All of it.
Yeah, it's just great. For a while I was really worried a couple of years ago. But now it's kind of like, oh, I'm looking forward to going back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Despite... Yeah, the hotel rooms and the airfare being jacked up, but
all that stuff.
What the heck?
The parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have personal experience with that.
They jack up everything. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Kung Fu Extravaganza last night. Our third year doing it. Always fun. Of course,
the technical fuster cluck that I went through.
A little bit of issues with playing some of the clips, but that's okay. That's to be expected.
If that doesn't happen at one of your things, I'd be disappointed.
I wouldn't. It'd be
like if you showed up in a regular shirt. I would.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, be like, what's wrong?
Yeah, really. Yeah. I'll tell the listeners, at one point during the first half of it, I went, I know what happened. I died. And now I'm in hell. I died earlier today, and this is, nothing worked.
But I think the fact that the fans who, so many of those people, they come every year, yeah. I think they it's part of the charm of the show.
You've got a loyal fan base that comes every year.
And you do now, too. You've been co-host for 3 years now?
Yeah, it's our third year doing it.
And just to let the people, if they want to come next year or if they can get in next year, I've unleashed the guys. I mean, for years, you love letting me hang in the wind.
That's
when things are going wrong. It's like, Comedy Film Nerds, say something funny. Dance, monkeys, dance. And you just look at me like, not going to do that.
Yeah.
You're on your own, buddy.
The only things we would say would be to make fun of you.
Yeah, that's right. There was another moment you didn't see me where I curled up on the stage in a fetal position sucking my thumb. Because it was just not going right.
It was so funny because I've made the joke. I go, it's like when one of your grandparents is trying to take a picture with their iPhone.
Yeah.
And as Santa Claus, I know what that's like.
So it was just like, it was so funny just to see the fans, the giggling in the audience.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is so great.
Is it working? What's going on? Get off my lawn.
It's like when...
Well, then we got to see... Rope-a-dope again.
Man. Because you're like, oh, I guess we'll do you and you. And Rope-a-dope came on, and you were like, oh, we don't want to see this again. And a large portion of us goes, no, show it again. So you played it again, and that movie is so great, which Eric Jacobus was on the panel again.
Yeah.
And he showed his new film, Wake Up Juice.
Wake Up Juice, yeah. And, yeah, that was because of my screw-up and inability to use the machine. That's the ones we got to show.
But Wake Up Juice...
It's
dynamite. He didn't write it, but he just brought in his stunt team.
He didn't direct it either.
He didn't direct it, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's wonderfully done. It's got his stamp on it.
It's got his stamp on it. And here's the thing, guys. Like I tweeted last night, you should follow Eric Jacobus. Mm-hmm. So if you follow my Twitter feed, which is at Graham Elwood, you'll get Rick Myers, you'll get and Chris's and Eric's. I tweeted all of them last night. Follow him because the stunt people, which is his group, they're doing such cool stuff. Yeah. They have a YouTube channel where you can watch all this stuff.
Great. And then we're gonna be carrying the new DVD that'll have the short films, and we're gonna be working with the stunt people on a project.
We're working on something together.
Yeah, we got something in development with them right now. We'll keep you guys posted on it because they're fantastic. We want to kind of
there's just
forces
no we got it. He's
and put it all together.
He does like martial arts comedy,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like
he always likes to play the schmuck. But the schmuck who's extremely talented
yeah.
and thinks his way out of something. And he's the only guy now, this is one of the subjects I think we're going to get into, he's the only guy now who fights in character, who understands how to communicate plot and character through action.
Yeah.
He's the last of his kind, because I was complaining last year how nobody learned anything in superhero action movies anymore. Batman fights Bane exactly the same way, despite having no cartilage in his knees or elbows. The first time he fights him, he closes his fist, uses anger, muscles. Second time he fights him, exactly the same. No difference at all in approach. And he really and Man of Steel, whoever shouts the loudest wins.
Oh, Man of Steel. And, where do we begin?
Well, tell us about...
that's the least of that movie this problems. Year.
Yeah, tell us about some of the movies you showed last night.
Well,
because there was some very interesting stuff.
To preface it, my complaint this year about American action is that it's so generic that you could digitally switch the heads of the fighters without changing the fight in any way. In fact, you could even digitally replace the character with a character from another action show. And it would be exactly the same. There's no... It's they're literally a waste of time, these
now,
action scenes.
Now, let's get into that a little bit more. Why do you think that is? Is it the same stunt team that's doing every single show? Or is it because there's no new voices? There's no diversity in the like the different perspectives and styles of action?
There's a lot. I mean, Michael Jai White, who's the wonderful guy from Black Dynamite, mm-hmm. will go from personal experience in terms of how... He has said to me, usually the person who's the most talented and knowledgeable rarely gets the job. It's the person with the best line of BS.
Oh, in show business?
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
It's true.
Yeah.
Because in the comedy world, the people that are the most knowledgeable about comedy definitely green
always get the job.
Always.
They make movies, television.
Oh, Comedy Central is stocked full of knowledgeable comedians. That's who the executives are.
Yeah, and Dane Cook's doing the voice in Planes. Be that as it may. What has happened is, I mean, you look at Forbidden Kingdom, which is one of my great peccadilloes, the three greatest kung fu film minds in film history, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, and Yuen Wu Ping, the choreographer, were forced to do mixed martial arts. What kung fu is difficult for producers to get their heads around, number one, because their attitude is that people want the NASCAR of action. They want generic, muscle-driven, angry, act-tough kind of behavior.
And is that why we get everything kind of looks and feels the same in Western action movies?
Yes. Everything, it makes it easier for the filmmakers because you just hand it over to the stunt team. Just, do whatever you want to do.
And it's the same stunt team on each of these films?
Not the same, but it has rapidly become the same because in order to keep working,
you have to...
the guys who were clever a couple of years ago are now just doing exactly what these guys want.
Oh,
mixed martial arts, and you know what mixed martial arts is mixed with. Crap. But be that as it may.
So you're saying, and it's possible that some of these stunt choreographers and fight choreographers, they're actually very talented, may have some voices and great perspective, but they're not allowed to do it because everything gets watered down.
Yuen Wu Ping, the greatest kung fu mind in the world, kung fu film mind in the world. You saw Forbidden Kingdom. That was his choreography.
Right.
Because he will do as a good crew person, he will do what the director is asking him to do.
We all get, in show me, we all get the hey, take the gig.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Take the gig.
Don't make waves.
I've said it. I mean, if somebody came to me right now with a dumb sitcom, I would take it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn down that money.
You'd be great in a dumb sitcom. Let me tell you, folks, Graham's the dumbest. He's the best.
You would really make the dumb shine.
Yeah,
thank you.
So
feel like insults, but I'm going to take it as compliment.
Because Jackie Chan, I think it was Jackie or Jet Li who said it on a Chinese film. We have 3 months to film it, and we spend a month on the drama and 2 months on the action. And he says, when I come to America, we spend 1 month on the action, 2 months on the drama. So what happens is that to make things go fast, just punch straight. Don't do anything clever. Jackie had this great story many years ago when he first worked in America on the Big Brawl or Battle Creek Brawl. And the director says, walk from the door to the other door. And she says, okay, I'll jump through the door. I'll somersault on the floor. I'll jump up and leap up through the window. No, Jackie. Walk from the door to the other door. Okay, I'll do a spin. I'll go down on the sort of a break dance, and I'll flip, you know, do a double somersault into the door. No, Jackie, just walk to the door. And Jackie goes, people don't pay to see Jackie walk.
Nice.
And they went, here they will. And that's what you're faced with. They want it to go as fast and as smooth as possible.
It's so funny. They look at action as just.
He's definitely not wrong. If there was a movie called Jackie Chan Walking, I wouldn't pay for it.
We just download it.
Yeah.
The way Expendables 3 was just, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you said, real quick, we got to talk about that. Yeah. Expendables 3, somebody released.
Somebody leaked it. Leaked a perfect print.
Wow.
The question is, I want to find out now whether it's the R-rated print, because they cut it down to PG-13, which a lot of the action fans are very upset about.
They cut it down to PG-13?
Which, you know, just seems to be so sick. But their attitude is, oh, everybody likes you guys now, so we want the whole families to go.
But let's be honest here, PG-13, I mean, all the Dark Knight movies were technically PG-13, and they're very violent. People are dying.
It's a very broad rating. We talked about this before. Yeah. I mean, you have everything from a Dark Knight movie to, like, The Grudge, you know, being PG-13s, or Pacific Rim. And Pacific Rim is, like, what's so controversial about that rating that you would need a PG-13?
Well, I don't know if I mentioned it. I may have mentioned it in another panel, but when you look at Sons of Anarchy and Hannibal on Network, this stuff is so brutal,
violent,
that, you know, what is that rated?
Oh, FX. I mean, when The Shield came out, FX just went,
we're
going to do this like HBO.
He's quoting, by the way.
Yeah, you know,
he's quoting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, there's naked sex scenes in The Shield. They say they say everything except, like, motherfucker.
Right.
Parental discretion advised. Right.
That's it. Yeah. That's all they do.
But Hannibal's on Network.
Right.
I don't even think it's on at 10 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it moved it around. And you watch one episode of that, and even as a person who's fairly jaded and seen all the Friday the 13th movies, it's kind of like, holy mackerel, jeez. Yeah. This is on what time? On Netflix?
Yeah, I don't know. As far as ratings go, it's PG-13 is such a broad rating. I'm wondering if we need to start breaking that up now. Literally, or
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Especially, like, if someone that has kids, I'm very in tune with media and what everything, the content of everything, but there's a lot of parents that aren't, and I can see how they would get, like, confused or not know, like, oh, well, this is PG, this is PG-13, this is R.
Yeah.
When there's plenty of PG-13s a couple years ago, easily would have been R's. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Absolutely.
And also, it's why. You know, why? Yeah. Is it for violence? Is it fantasy violence? Like, all this stuff. Now, I will give video games a lot of credit right now. Because a video game, you could actually look at the cover.
Yeah.
It tells you not only the rating, it tells you the age group, and it tells you every single piece of content that is for mature audience. It'll say profanity, violence, mature themes, nudity, anything. Yeah. So you know exactly what's in it.
Well, I think that goes to a good thing, because the MPAA is so ridiculous. They're like the TSA of entertainment.
It's a Nielsen of
ridiculously arbitrary.
Completely outdated and archaic.
And they'll absolutely. Just, you know, this knife, you know, is okay, but that breast is bad.
Yeah.
Like, what are
giving Bully an R because it had two fucks in it. It's like, you know.
Exactly. It's nonsensical.
Yeah. It's very sad.
I mean, what grade school kid hasn't heard those words by now?
Yeah,
I mean, kids have all heard it. Not at home, but at school. And that's, you know, if you think back, where did we learn curse words?
Right.
At school.
At school. Exactly. Yeah.
From your parents.
Yeah.
And your teachers.
Yeah. So the situation. So Expendables was leaked online in a perfect print, unlike the new episode of Doctor Who, which was leaked online but in a terrible print with black and white.
Now, who do you complain to if the leaked print is a poor quality?
Your friend. you cry to the stars at night. How could you? You deprive me of this perfect print of this fine thing that I've stolen.
Hey, Mr. BitTorrent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna file a complaint.
Can I call you Bit?
Yeah. Or is it Mr. Torrent?
No, Mr. Torrent. You call me Mr. Torrent.
The quality of your stolen material is unacceptable.
That's right. let's do the Conan O'Brien nerd voice.
Well, let's get into...
the show. We can talk about the show.
Yeah, let's get in a little bit. Some of the movies you showed last night and then kind of...
Post-technical snafus.
Post-technical snafus. So you showed a clip of The Martial Arts Kid because Cynthia Rothrock and James Liu were there.
Yeah. James Liu is mad at me, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't show his clip reel. I showed Darren Shalabi's crippling heart attack. I did, because, you know, that was the first thing that started to fester Cluck, his putting his disc in. I think he was really pissed. All right. But we'll see. I apologize, James. I apologized last night.
Well, it was great because Cynthia, who I've met now several times, she actually saw Chris and I. We did stand up in Burbank, and she came out to the show along with.
She's great.
She's amazing, and it was great talking to her. It's like, you've been working on it. She goes, I've done 5 movies in 2 years. And I go, that's amazing. She goes, well, there's a lot of years before that where it was lean, and I really, you get this sense of how she's been in the business a long time.
She's a survivor, yeah.
And she's just so happy, like, all right, I'm still working.
And she started getting cast in movies in what, her 20s, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you haven't seen her original Hong Kong films, you really owe it to yourself. And we're talking Yes, Madam with Michelle Yeoh, Lady Reporter / Blonde Fury with Vincent Lin, The Magic Crystal with Andy Lau. She's done Millionaire's Express with Sammo Hung and Yuen Biao. Oh my gosh, just she does amazing work.
Now, we're going to
get her on the show.
On YouTube.
Okay.
You can get on YouTube.
I guarantee that to the fans right now, we're going to get Cynthia on the show. And we're going to just talk about her career.
She's got amazing stories, yeah.
Because it's just like, you go back, and when you meet her, you're like, oh, this is nice. And
she's sweet.
Yeah, and then you're just, like, you watch her, it's like, man, she's a badass.
Yeah, she really kicks ass in those movies. Because you showed clips last year of her earlier films. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she was Gui Lo, which, you know, the foreign devil in Hong Kong, and blonde at that. And the fact that she got the kind of respect that she did. I've always had the one time I got to go to the Hong Kong equivalent of the Oscars, she and I sat in the back and she translated for me. Lean over and go, and this is what this person's saying, this is what this person's saying. And I'm going,
she's fluent in Chinese?
Better than me. Wow. She might have, you ask her the story and she goes, oh, it's just Lino. I was just making shit up. I was like that South African deaf mute translator who was just making crap up. But I bought it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, she was. And, you know, the martial arts kid has this whole anti-bullying theme, which is really cool. And as I said last night, and I think I've said it on this show, you know, watching James Liu choreograph Don the Dragon Wilson and TJ Storm was just really cool to watch. This is a low budget action movie that has limited time, and they had to just watch these three professionals.
I can't believe how quickly they're putting it together. It's amazing. Yeah.
They're being very smart. I met the producer last night. He said, I'm coming on stage. And I went, no, you're not. It's a pretty crowded stage as it is.
Unless you know how to work a Blu-ray player.
Thanks, TJ.
You're not coming on stage. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for your help. Thank you. Yeah, since you guys got on board, and now we have to beat people off literally want to come on stage.
Oh,
it's
cool!
It's fun, man. And all right, so talk about some of the movies that we saw.
We were talking about the American situation in terms of the generic action, and what's happening in Asia now is that, of course, China has taken over Hong Kong. They are punishing Hong Kong for being out of their reach for so many years. And that is affecting the cinema as well. Meanwhile,
because Hong Kong for so long was just autonomous, and that's why all these great movies came out of there.
Right. And now,
and just politics and being able to run the city.
Right.
During the 90s, the Triad took over. The gangsters took over, and there are some amazing stories about how Jet Li's manager was shot in the head twice.
Oh my God!
He was one of the worst triads ever, because, you know, the Triad took over the film industry, and the Triad are the gangsters, the mob, the mafia of Hong Kong and now China, and there were good ones and there were bad ones. There were film loving triad, and there were triad who were lusting after actresses and actors, and so you wanted to get in with the good triad. Well, Jet Li's manager was not a good triad. I mean, he was reportedly, allegedly, one of the worst drug and flesh peddlers in all of Asia.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, he was found in his own building, I believe in the elevator, with a hole in his forehead. But it didn't kill him. And they brought him to the hospital. And the story is, I'm sure this isn't true, but I just love the story. The gist of the story is true, but the specifics of the story, I can't believe are true. The doctors came in the next day, and he was dead. But there was one bullet hole in his head in which they found two bullets.
Oh, my God.
Somebody came in, put the gun over the hole and shot again, finishing the job. And Jet Li looks at his watch and goes, I got to go to China and divorce my wife. I forgot. I'll be back soon. See you guys. And then his sister and his mother said, Jet, we'll take care of this. And what they did was find him a wonderful managerial team of women in Hong Kong and throughout China.
And were they good triad?
They were not triad, but they were Chinese women. Mm-hmm. And you do not screw with
them. Now, when did, do you remember the year that Hong Kong reverted back?
97. Okay. 93 was pretty much the end of the cinema era. Everybody came running to America. Chow Yun-fat, mm-hmm. John Woo, Jet Li, everybody. And they soon returned because they found the standard operating racism also that Hollywood goes by.
Right.
So they went back home once things had settled. But now, as most people who know cinema know, Hollywood is just kowtowing and kissing butt like crazy to get into China. Because China...
Huge market.
Of something opens big in America, we're talking tops maybe 5,000 theaters. Something opens in China, 25,000 theaters.
And because there's an extra billion and a half people or whatever.
And they want them to forget about communism.
Right. Yeah. And also the theaters are just growing every year. The audience is growing every year. And the prices are going up every year, which Hollywood... Man of Steel, there would not be, I believe, there might be, because Zack Snyder was extremely clever. There might not have been a Batman versus Superman without China.
Really?
Because they embraced Man of Steel.
They loved it.
And what's great for filmmakers and producers especially, they love China because China loves big, dumb American movies. They like to make fun of it. The worse we look, whether it's Transformers 4 sure. or Man of Steel, the better they like it. So that's... and. So it's an interesting double-edged sword going on.
So they pay money to laugh at American movies.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Big, dumb American movies.
We're stupid.
And then when they make something like...
As long as someone's paying for it.
Yeah. Just keep being done. It's American.
USA. USA.
You want a 64-ounce Coke? Come on.
Here we go.
America.
Donnie Yen's Monkey King, 3D Monkey King, was an even bigger hit in China because it was avataring. It was trying to Avatar. Uh-huh. It didn't succeed, but the Chinese also love it when one of their own does something that's American-like. When Jackie did Armor of God, which was his Indiana Jones, that's still his highest grossing film.
Really?
Yeah. So on the one hand, there's that going on. On the other hand, there's the Chinese government's power over cinema.
Well, I got to ask this question then. What are, as far as Chinese audiences goes, what are the types of American movies that they reject? They're not interested in seeing.
Because the government so stringently controls what American films gets into the country, I can honestly answer, nothing. There is no film they won't accept, because to get in, they already have been vetted by the government to such a degree that they'll run to see it. So anything that the government doesn't think will... I mean, they're not going to get the small little cerebral films in China. Uh-huh. They're going to get Iron Man 3, and of course Iron Man 3 kowtowed by putting in Chinese scenes and Chinese actresses. So did Transformers 4. They put in Chinese scenes and Chinese actresses to the point where they're doing commercials during the film. Iron Man took a healthy swig of a certain kind of soy milk and was going, this makes me, gives me the power
of a Chinese soy milk.
Chinese soy milk, yeah.
And this is footage that we don't see in this country.
I think they did include it on the DVD.
Really?
I think
they did. Really?
I don't have it, so I don't know, but I've heard rumors that it was. So on the one hand, that's going on. On the other hand, the Chinese government has had a horrible effect on Chinese film to the point where the Chinese Directors Guild did not give an award for Best Film or Best Director last year, saying we haven't done anything worthy of it. Because, as I've said, I said at the show, imagine working with lunatic studio executives. Then add a different government official every single day who has the power to say what can go in the film and what can't.
And they show up on the set every day.
Virtually every day. It used to be the triad would show up every day and ask for money. Now it's the government who shows up every day and says, you can't do that, you can't do this. Or even worse, my favorite is when they look up at the sky and they rub their chins and they say, I think this film would work better with a pirate in it. And it doesn't matter whether the film is taking place in Vegas in the 1970s. I think it would work better in a pirate. I would recommend to people that they try to hunt down. Johnny To is still one of my favorite Asian directors or Chinese directors mm-hmm. or Hong Kong directors. And he did a magnificent film called Drug War. He also did Election 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Election 2, subtitled Harmony is a Virtue, where he clearly states, he flatly, baldly states, that in its
not the Reese Witherspoon Matthew
no no okay. Election 1 and 2 it's that, available that,
they didn't do the first one in China
yeah
he baldly states
Chinese the, scenes
in its pragmatism the Chinese government is far more insidious and dangerous than the triad. And then in A Drug War he has it's an amazing movie, but his most recent movie is called Blind Detective. It's an interesting, it's a nominal follow up to his brilliant film Mad Detective. And in
I
it,
saw Mad Detective.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Where he has he can see all the different personalities.
Yeah, he can
see
the person's personality as separate people.
Yeah.
And they can be women, they can be men, they can be children. It's a brilliant movie, a brilliant mystery, one of the best ever. But he did a nominal follow-up called Blind Detective. But in it, there are scenes that make no sense. They're absolutely lunatic. There's a guy dressed up as an old lady for some reason. People are being yanked about on wires doing these ridiculous chase sequences. And what happened there was that was the influence of the Chinese government.
I wonder if like one of these governmental representatives that is on set, then when they see the final product, yeah. then they just go, perfect.
Yeah.
They do, but you don't know what they're thinking. In other words, they go, perfect. Because we've been trying to destroy you. We remember Election 1 and 2. We remember that movie you made that said that we were worse than the Triad. The Triad, who we've declared as a patriotic organization in our world, which essentially is making them the secret police. So we remember what you said. Yes, this is perfect. This is exactly what we wanted you to do.
Yes. So it's deliberately trying to destroy the film.
In some cases, and in some cases it's just power. You know, because 25... The opening of Jackie Chan's new film, Police Story 2013,
mm-hmm.
before the credits even start, there is a literal 45 to 55 seconds of name after name after name after name of new, of credits you've never seen on any other film. Distribution producer. These were all the government guys.
Oh, wow.
They're before the title. So, yes, I mean, and count the number of people.
And they're basically, and it's also a show of strength. Of
yes.
Like, just so you know,
yeah.
we call the shots here.
Exactly. And all the movies that I showed last night are responses to it. Virtually, just like in the Golden Age of Samurai film,
mm-hmm.
when every single samurai movie, be it Baby Cart in the Land of Demons, or Zatoichi and the Doomed Man, or any of the movies, were all basically saying, Bushido doesn't work, the Bushido Code of Honor, because humans, you know what humans are like, they'll screw it up, they'll corrupt it, they'll compromise it. The movies, all the movies coming out of China now are either tacit collapses to the government, as Blind Detective was,
mm-hmm.
or they are very cleverly designed screams of Kung F.U. to the government, as was Firestorm, mm-hmm. which is the Andy Lau picture, where if you watch it understanding that Andy Lau is playing Hong Kong and
yeah,
the villain is playing China... then you will go, oh.
No, you explained that last night, and I was like...
And
made,
we saw that clip last
yeah.
night.
It made so much sense.
What was the name of that one again?
Firestorm.
Firestorm.
It's coming out... Everything I showed last night is coming out from Wellgo USA in America, who is now the best and only game in town. They're the only ones outside of... finally, the Asians have wised up, and they are no longer selling their films to the Weinstein Company, who routinely destroy them. But now the Weinsteins, I just talked this morning to a costume designer on the prequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which the Weinsteins are finishing up, written by the same Native American who wrote Forbidden Kingdom, so you know it's going to be good.
Is Chow Yun-Fat going to be in it?
No. Oh, no. Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen. But Michelle Yeoh is in it. But I'd still, you know, it shit runs downhill.
Same director?
No, no. Oh, no, no. Oh. Ang Lee would not get anywhere near
really?
That. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who the director is, but again, it's going to be as far... I'm fearful that it's
so
going
Crouching
to be...
So, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Prequel?
Hidden Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Hidden Bullshit?
So, the Weinsteins are no longer ruining, except Snowpiercer, which they tried to ruin.
So where can people, you're doing this last night, where can people get go to Wellgo if they want to get these?
www.wellgousa.com. You can also /subscribe and you get their latest newsletter saying
oh, great.
Stuff is coming
okay.
out. Firestorm is not out yet, But most of the films I showed last night are already out and beautiful DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yeah, check that out, guys. If you, I know many of you guys are huge fans of these films. So
it's hard to go wrong with Wellgo. And also, of course, you can always email me at Kung Fu Rick Myers. Leave the K off of Rick for karma. KungFuRickMyers@gmail.com. If you need any explanations, for in other words, anybody who sees Firestorm goes, it's just an overblown, absurd movie. Because as I explained, Eddie Lau gets blown up more times than any human.
Five or six or seven times.
In a scene near the beginning of the film. Yeah. And you would go, well, this is just a silly, overblown movie. But once you understand that it's really a veiled reference to how China is treating Hong Kong and how Hong Kong won't die no matter what they do. Then it suddenly becomes a revelatory film.
Now, what was the Kung, Bruce Lee clone movie?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Because after everything I've just said, the only guy who's having a good time in China is the greatest schlockmeister probably in the world now, Wong Jing. Wong Jing has been around forever. He made his most famous films prior to China taking over were Naked Killer and God of Gamblers with Chow Yun-fat, both of which are well worth your seeing. But he's a madman, and he's already gone through so much. During the Triad period, before China took over, the Triad knocked his teeth out. We didn't like what you say. But even that he comes back from. And now the big difference is that no matter how constricting China is, production in China is magnificent. If you want to make a movie with a million people in it, with a million costumes and a million horses and a beautiful, incredible sets, China's the place to go. And you can do that for a buck and a half. Because as you know, China has empty cities. They built entire cities which are totally empty. And they have the land, they have the people. So Wong Jing is going, you give me money.
I'll do whatever you have. You have a billion people in a country that has a population problem and you have empty cities.
Look up ghost cities. They are developments, entire cities that are developed. When I was in China last, we would literally come to the end of the highway. The highway is like I-5, absolutely beautiful, and then it would just stop. And it would be gravel and dirt. And it's kind of like there's no sign. It's just kind of like, all right, we're done. And we would drive other places, and highways would literally be growing beside us. They have to keep their economy going. They just keep developing. So what happens is these guys would develop this entire city, a little city, perfectly done, hoping people would move in. But nobody did. And they're all over the place now. It's really wonderful.
I can't wait to. I'm going there to shows in Hong Kong. Yeah, it might be Shanghai. I can't wait to see.
Well, you should do a ghost city tour.
The ghost city tour alone, Graham alone in the middle of the city.
I mean, if they offered me to do a pro communism movie, I'd direct it.
Whatever you say.
Yes.
Oh my God, they would treat you because you know they call us Guaylo, you know, Harry the foreign devils. I'm Mo Guaylo, which is Harry foreign devil, and they do. They love watching us scrape. They love, you know, kowtow three times, now kowtow three more times. Keep kowtowing until you start bleeding from your forehead. But Wong Jing's attitude is, as long as you give me the money to make the film, whatever you want.
Well, let's talk about a little bit where we're at with the state of action movies right now. So we're sort of mid-summer.
Oh, yeah.
The action movies that have come out so far.
Edge of Tomorrow.
That was pretty good. I didn't notice who the choreographer was on that. But, you know, that's...
Well, it was funny. I was talking to Eric Jacobus about Edge of Tomorrow because it is a, you know, a Groundhog Day, which Rope-A-Dope is basically Kung Fu Groundhog Day.
Right.
And, you know, the thing that I loved about it that Eric and I were both talking was they did some... There's a lot of great jokes in Tom Cruise, how he dies, where he comes back.
Yeah.
Like, they do a lot of funny jokes. And also, as he's learning... to get further on down the line to defeat these aliens, I it was really and if this is Emily Blunt's going to start being an action star, I'm on board, man.
Yeah, she's great.
I never would have picked her.
Yeah.
Based on the work she's done in the past, I think she's a great actress.
Yeah.
But as a testament to a great actress, a great actor is a great actor, and with the right director and the right script, you can direct them into doing anything.
Yeah.
I remember Jason Alexander would always say, I'm not funny at all, but the scripts and the direction on Seinfeld made me hilarious.
Yeah.
And I think that's because he's a good actor.
And I'm very glad to see, because there was a period of time when Hollywood was really trying to diminish the female lead.
Mm-hmm.
The Laura Croft
from
movies.
1930 to when?
Yes, yeah, that's yeah. right. To yes, just yesterday. Yeah. And one of the things you noticed in my show, they never give Asian women any sympathy, quarter, or reserve. They're fighting. They're getting beat up. They're not, you know, they're not just jade vases in the corner yeah. anymore. And they're beginning to do that in America. In addition to Edge of Tomorrow, we'll probably eventually talk about Lucy coming up with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
That's coming up. That's...
I hope that one's not going to be dumb. It really could go either way.
It opened this weekend. I think I'm excited to see it.
I want to see it.
When we get back from Comic-Con, I'm going to go see it.
The advance word is that it's a very fun B-movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's the kind of... And also her as Black Widow.
Yeah,
she's given good scenes. And despite the generic aspect of the fight scenes in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV, Melinda May, Ming-Na, is given wonderful scenes, and now they're having the Agent Carter
mm-hmm.
with Haley Atwell.
Mm-hmm.
And so women are really getting their due.
Where do you, I mean, the summer we've had thus far, Rick, what are the action movies that stand out to you, and which are the ones you thought just kind of dropped?
And what are you looking forward to?
Well, you know, after... I loved How to Train Your Dragon 1,
mm-hmm.
and I was horrified at How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Really?
Yeah, it was. I felt, I was listening to your reviews of it, and I thought it was joyless. I thought it wasn't, if you look at the first one again and how well everything was designed and how, and you know, and this one, not only was it predicated on a wildlife theory which has been roundly debunked, you know, the mob mentality of animals or whatever. To have the spoiler alert, tragic thing that happens in the movie not be addressed once it happened, I mean, and to have the leading character kill a heroic leading character kill another heroic leading character, and then just sort of go, okay,
mm-hmm.
we did it, so that's done, and we're just watching this thing. It's very pretty. It was very eye filling, but it made the exact same mistakes that to Kung Fu Panda 2 did.
Oh my God, I said the exact same
yeah.
thing
yes,
on
did.
The podcast.
I was at home yelling at my iPhone going, Chris is right! What's the matter with you, Graham?
Graham
you
doesn't
like sword, you idiot! What do you know?
I like steel.
I like Rick. Steel. Yes, you do. You do.
Hattori Hanzo steel?
Yes. I'm going to bring a Tai Chi sword to our next meeting, and you are not getting out alive. Anyway, so, yeah, I was, I've been very disappointed, but not really. I mean, I went into Transformers 4 knowing what I was going to see and being fine with it.
I'm offended at the comment, I went into Transformers 4.
Yeah. That you <did that. laughs> I make it a point, whenever something's wildly successful, to go see why I think it is wildly successful. And I always try to look beneath the things, because I really, and you're just going to take that pen and jam it into my ear or eye. When
I'm already regretting not bringing my katana to this.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, thank God you didn't. You have better luck with the pen. But I put Bay on the same, not the same level, but the same area as Avatar Boy. Because they work on they work on a different level. They truly do work on a different level. And while
I gotta disagree with that.
Yeah, while Michael Bay is working on the Wong Jing level, he is shameless and he will not change his vision for any reason. He knows his audience. And his audience responds.
Well, I disagree with that in the sense that Wong Jing has talent and he's just...
Oh, a lot of people would argue on that point,
well,
but go ahead.
But you know what I mean? Like
he's shameless.
Yeah. Michael Bay doesn't have any talent or ability or purpose.
I think Michael Bay also is a cynical marketeer, and all he's doing is, this is what they want
and
to give it to.
And he's a dick.
Yeah. Now, where
anyone that's ever worked
with
him,
I'm going to give James Cameron some credit here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a filmmaker who cares about the movies that he makes all the way back from... if you hear his stories about how he was working for Roger Corman and the shit he had to go through to get the first Terminator movie mm-hmm. made, I mean, he's a filmmaker that's come up through the ranks and has made some great action movies, but he's cared about them. You know, I think that all went to crap with Avatar, but he's got
I disagree with that. So
but he's got
We're not in Kansas anymore. Yeah. Do people know what Wizard of Oz was?
I've already told you guys. That he writes all of his movies specifically in a different voice, and in that case, he was writing as a 15-year-old. He already said he was writing it as a 15-year-old. And a 15-year-old is not going to come up with new dialogue. He's going to come up with cliches he's seen. But, of course, you can't argue with the box office. And you can. It's easy to say all those people are idiots.
No, I'm not saying they're not. No. Here's the issue.
You can have two separate discussions about box office and artistic merit. They don't necessarily are in sync, but that one doesn't justify the other.
His visual art. James Cameron is a visual artist.
Mm-hmm.
He
knows what he wants, and he gets what he wants.
He knows what he wants,
no matter what any of us think.
Sure, and he wants to push the boundaries. That's his whole thing. I mean, his underwater documentaries, that stuff.
He's an amazing fellow.
He's an amazing guy in that regard. And my issues with his script were he wrote as a 15-year-old boy who there's no way anyone's going to make a Wizard of Oz reference 100 years in the future.
Of course not, but he doesn't care.
Right, but I mean, like...
But as a screenwriter...
Unobtainium.
I don't want anybody writing as a 15-year-old boy. I want you to write as a successful screenwriter. That's how I want
you
to write.
I completely understand that, but at the same time, I admire the chutzpah that he made Titanic as a 1910 melodrama, and he made Avatar as a 15-year-old's fever dream science fiction film.
Sure.
And it... Both of them worked, undeniably, not artistically for you, but for an audience, and you can call them NASCARs if you want or whatever. And for me, I understood, I like, whenever a movie makes more than $100 million, I like to go see it and try to figure out why.
So you've seen every Twilight movie?
I have, actually. I have.
So have I.
I saw Sex and the City, too.
Wow.
Now, that's commitment. That is commitment, my friend. Although I have to admit, to be in an audience, be the only male in an audience of tweens, and that was for Twilight, too.
Yeah.
It's not unpleasurable. I mean, I've spent more time looking at the audience than I did the screen. But
all right, so what else have you seen? So what's this?
Transformers 4, let's see. So many things just went through my brain. They were so biodegradable. Mm-hmm. And everything... I'm trying to think of anything this summer that hasn't been disappointing to me.
Captain America was pretty
good. I like Captain America a lot. I like the X-Men a lot.
Yeah.
But the problem I had with the X-Men is that the Quicksilver sequence is so exceptional that it puts the rest of the movie in shadow. I kept on expecting them to come back to the same exhilaration as that scene.
I agree. Those were amazing
That
sequences.
Was an amazing sequence.
Now, well, let's talk about then... Any action, whether it's small action, Asian or Western, that's come out that's not involving superheroes. I mean, what has come out this summer, other than Edge of Tomorrow?
Can you think of anything?
That you
not off the top of my head.
I mean, Snowpiercer kind of was actiony, but it wasn't.
Oh yeah, it had Korean.
It had elements of action, but there was also a lot of, like I talked about before, satire and comedy. And,
right.
Science fiction, but...
Snowpiercer is fun, even if you don't like it, because you know you're not going to see its like anytime soon.
No, and I said that too. There's a movie like this is you're not going to see every day.
It's why I haven't seen it. It's why I want to see it, just because I'm like, well, this is an inventive idea, and I so loved The Host that I just like an inventive director.
Did we get a Jason Statham movie this summer?
No, that's going to be Expendables 3.
Expendables 3.
Expendables 3, okay. Yeah. So that's really the non-comic book action movie of the summer that's still coming out is Expendables.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting what's happening because television is getting so much better and the screens are getting so much larger and the clarity is so much... You don't have to worry about the projector bulb at home on your
TV.
Right. So the thing that I've enjoyed the most this summer, for whatever reason, was they came together.
Really?
Yeah, the Wayne Showalter satire of romantic comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, my gosh.
I've heard great things about
it. Just sit back and relax and enjoy. And you know, again, you're not going to see that in a major motion picture. It's on video on demand.
Right.
Most of that video on demand is becoming the place to go to just relax and not come in with it, you know.
Sure.
Because the other thing, the bad thing, and I am a fan, I'm a longtime fan. It's hard for me to go into a movie theater without a chip on my shoulder.
Well, yeah, but you make an excellent point. And again, Sam Tripoli said this last week, because video on demand, you pay whatever, $6-$7 if you pay anything, and you're at home, and you're like, great.
And you choose to watch it.
You choose to watch it. Yeah. When you go
and
to a movie...
And it's $10 for two people. And we don't have to pay for a babysitter.
That's right.
No, but I mean, you go to the movies, even just when I go alone, it's a lot of money, man. Especially L.A., it's $12, $13. Yeah. And all that money you have to spend, let alone if you're married with kids and babysitter, all of a sudden it's a $100 night. So it's like, I remember one of the reasons I was so mad at Green Hornet was I had to see it in 3D.
Yeah.
I was married at the time. It was $32 to right. go with my, and I was like, and this is the bullshit this yeah, you yeah. give
How
me?
How dare you?
It's really like going to a high-end restaurant and they give you fucking Taco Bell. Yeah,
and you know, it's another thing that's great about VOD is I'm sure they're out there. I haven't found them. VOD, no filmmaker I've ever seen who put their film on VOD says, looks at me in the audience or in my couch going, you're an idiot. And right. I'm just going to give you crap for you because yeah. you're an idiot. You know, the way you feel Michael Bay does. You're not, video on demand, Netflix, whatever, their attitude is, we like you.
We want your business.
Yeah.
We need to find you
yeah.
because we didn't get a wide release or whatever.
Yeah, and let's have fun.
And
let's have
fun. The economics of it are different.
Yeah.
A film can make much more money for the distributor on demand than having a theatrical release. The pie gets split up in a much more favorable way to the distributor.
Right.
Now, it hasn't quite trickled down to the filmmaker yet, but... But when you
really,
have
the
a,
artist got
yeah,
fucked?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
I'm going to write this
but,
down.
But yeah. the distributors are now making the choices to go video on demand quicker, even with a simultaneous
right.
Theatrical release.
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer is a great example
yeah.
of that, yeah.
And we're missing the elephant in the room, by the way. Raid 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
We talked about that last
the,
night.
The action of actions. I mean, as most people know, I'm a kung fu guy, so I'm not really that interested in closed fist, anger-driven, muscle-driven kind of stuff. But Raid 2, I mean, geez, that's probably the best, as far as I know, martial art movie. It's not a kung fu movie, but it's a martial art movie, and it's one of the best
Now this,
ever.
When we get back to distribution, this is yeah. an interesting case of that's one that I wished was on demand, because it
yeah.
was difficult to find
yep.
in the theaters. I had to go into Hollywood, like I couldn't. So I couldn't think, you know, why no theater around me was showing it. So I'm like, oh, this would be a great movie to just watch on demand, and I could just watch it at home. Could not find it.
Time for my annual conspiracy theory session. As usual, for whatever reason, they have decided to make it difficult. Snowpiercer, the same thing. They decided to make it difficult.
But Snowpiercer was on demand. I
yes.
could get it.
And they were hoping that you would miss that too, but we're a little more savvy than I think they were expecting us to be. And they recently put out the thing, just like they were surprised that Hero made $50 million. Oh, we were surprised it did so well on VOD. Yeah, because you didn't want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Again, I'm not sure. There's a couple of valid theories, which is, and they're backed up now by what we were talking about before, how generic the action is. If they suddenly start accepting action that isn't generic, more time is going to be spent, more training will have to be given, more accidents will happen. They are much more happy to have generic close-your-fist roundhouse punches than they are clever stuff. Gareth Evans, who did Raid 2, he's like Wong Jing in that they make so much money. He's the David Lean of mm-hmm. Indonesia, even mm-hmm. though he's Welsh. And they're already so far into profit by the time they come here. Anything they get is gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't care they screw up the distribution. They don't care if it goes out there. We action fans know Raid exists. Although, again, I'm so horrified by my audience at the Kung Fu Extravaganza. These guys come specifically. They could go to 12 different things here at the convention, and many times I want to go with them because there's always something great going on. And they come in just to see the action films, and the majority, as you noticed, did not see Raid 2.
Well, you know what I think that is, though? I think that goes to what you were just saying.
Yeah. They couldn't find it?
Couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And you know...
It's on DVD now.
Yeah,
now it is.
Now it's on DVD, and I think it's one of those things that they'll find down the road.
Yeah.
Because if you don't live in a major city in America...
Yeah, that's true.
Good luck.
But everything's downloadable, everything's stealable. And if you like this sort of stuff, but then again,
I
shouldn't talk. Yeah,
don't
you should. I'm sorry, you're right. You're right, Garen, I'm sorry.
And a lot of people email us saying we wouldn't have known about these movies without you guys mentioning them.
Yeah.
Well, to go back to
And then they email back and said, I'm going to purchase this movie fairly... And above board,
yeah.
And legally.
Which is what I did. Because I so love the filmmaker and I so love the stars, there's no way I was going
to
rip this off.
And
I also had to get a beautiful, beautiful print that I could watch over and over and over.
To go back to that, what Fan said, Sanai, big fan of Japan, saw Snowpiercer in the theaters in Japan in February.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it already made plenty of money before it got here in the three theaters.
Huge hit in Korea.
Oh, right.
And Korea is like, at this point, the third largest, I think, audience, or maybe fourth largest.
How'd it do in North Korea?
Kim Jong-il loved it. He said, kidnap that actress and bring her here.
I love a movie where the people rise up and fight for themselves.
All the governments are going, oh, we're not showing this. Let's hide this baby.
All right, well, I want to, because we're running out of time a little bit, I do want to talk about a documentary that I saw recently. It was a press screening.
Chris, you want to go to lunch? We'll be back.
Yeah. How dare
Probably
you?
By the time you finish.
Was it about surfing?
No, Chris. It was not.
Was it about swords?
It should have been about a surfing samurai. But
that's the new movie. Eric Jacobus in Surfing Samurai.
He was on a quest to find the last bottle of coconut water.
Right. And is this the Graham Elwood story?
That's right.
He befriends a dolphin.
Yeah. I swear, everything you write for Eric is really for Graham. Yeah. It really is. Just screw it. Just let Graham star. Eric will be there choreographing it.
I just wish I had his ability. That's all.
Start working, buddy.
I think in the next life, I'll start training a little sooner.
That'd be great.
I'll be
out to eat you.
But I saw this documentary called Alive Inside, and Kimberly Browning set me up with a press screening. It is everything that is great about documentary filmmaking.
Wow.
For these reasons. It sheds light on something that most of us didn't know. And here's what the story is. It starts out with this guy that was a doctor working in nursing homes. And the opening scene, and this is actually on YouTube, is a guy in his 80s with dementia, catatonic.
Mm-hmm.
They put music from his era, like big band music, on, and he literally comes to life. It starts connecting synapses in his head, and he's like, oh, I remember this song, and I was... And it's just, you're just like, wait, what? So the first act of the film, and yeah, it's like 80 minutes maybe, is showing all of this and all of this happening. Then it's, oh, should be easy to just put $40 iPods and headphones in nursing homes.
Well, have the answer now.
Guess what? Yeah. It is not. And a doctor comes on who works in nursing homes, and he goes, the people that work in nursing homes are some of the most wonderful people on the planet. This is going to sound shocking. The medical infrastructure. He's like, it's easier for me to write a prescription for $1,000 a month Alzheimer's medicine than it is to get a $40
headphones
for these people to listen to music. He goes, it's so incorrect. And they go into all this, like, first of all, it's kind of an American thing how we treat old age.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and our medical industry establishment.
The medical industry, the medical establishment, like the companies that block stuff. Yeah. And it's just like, and it goes into that, and it's just like, I mean, I was in tears.
Mm.
And this was a press screening. So these hardened, cagey, you know, film critics who were just like,
especially online film critics.
It's just like, you know, these people like see 10 movies a week, and they're probably like, there's not enough snacks at this screening. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
You know, everyone was like emotionally moved. And then it also does that thing. So it tells you something. I don't know anything about this. Now I do. Mm-hmm. And then also gives you a, hey, here's what you can do.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Go to musicandmemory.org. Donate your old iPod. You have an iPhone now. You don't need your iPod. You can donate it.
Oh, wow.
Donate
your
headphones or whatever. And it's like, holy shit. That's weird. Like, this is everything that a documentary should be doing.
Yeah.
And it was like a 3-year journey with this guy. The soundtrack is that one song, Man on Fire,
mm-hmm.
because he's this guy who's like, oh, I'm not giving up. And you know, goes to the group, goes to Congress, and then just roadblock. And then I won't give it away, but then the solution that he finds is like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it also lines up with everything we're doing with podcasting and this new medium, and how we funded a movie on Kickstarter, and how we're just circumventing the status quo, be it show business, be it politics, be it the medical community that's telling you, no, this is how it's done. Now, in this do-it-yourself digital era, it's like, okay, I walk around you, man.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore.
Water
yeah.
goes around a stone, dude.
That's right.
So, good luck.
I was born in the year of the snake, always under or around.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's and this movie, it's called Alive Inside, you guys. I'm not sure where and how you get it. Like most indie docs, I mean...
Google it.
Yeah. And go watch the... Just watch the YouTube of this old guy coming to life with music. Like, you're like, what? Huh? How do we not know? And you realize, like, as Americans, we're so shielded.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
From anything we can't buy.
Anything we can't buy, man. And anything some big corporation can't control and triple the cost of.
Yeah.
And it was just spectacular. So
that's wonderful.
I cannot recommend this movie enough. So, and I will.
Well, maybe we could see about acquiring it for Comedy Film Nerds and then tripling the price of it.
Yeah.
And also
stealing the money.
Double feature: this movie followed by Raid 2. I think that's a pretty darn good double feature.
You will cry and be excited.
Yes. And we're not going to tell you which movie to do that.
Maybe the Hammer Girl makes you cry. I don't know.
She makes me cry.
So check out Alive.
Tears of Joy.
All right. So here's what's coming out on DVD.
Nothing.
Noah, as Rick just said. Nothing. So Noah, which is Transformers meets Gladiator, is what some how I would describe that.
High praise indeed.
So yes. Check out those gems.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad it didn't make $100 million. Otherwise, Rick would go see it.
I would have gone to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, Transformers Gladiator meets We Bought a Zoo.
Yeah, that's all I see. I see movies that make less than a million and movies that make 100.
Actually, We Bought a Zoo is a decent film.
It is.
Noah mm-hmm. is not.
Never saw it.
Coming out in theaters, we've been talking about this a lot, Guardians of
the Galaxy. Cannot wait. We will be doing a spoiler up of Guardians of the Galaxy. In fact, it'll probably come out the same week as our regular episode, Jackie Cation, because she has read every single Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Mm-hmm.
She's excited to see this movie, and she will be doing the spoiler up with us.
I don't know anything about this. I have not read any of these books, and the first trailer I was not on board with, but some of these subsequent trailers, I'm starting to go, okay.
It won you over. Yeah.
I'm really starting to get in on it. So.
I'm going to see it. I saw Amazing Spider-Man 2, knowing it was going to suck balls. But I'm a comic fan. I started reading comics when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm hoping it's good. I've never been a huge fan of James Gunn, but I like his work.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be the one that puts him over. I think this could be it.
Great faith in Disney. I do. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a crazy thing to say? We didn't used to say that 10, 15 years ago.
I know, and that's because, I have lived with Disney. I've written about Disney from the very beginnings of my life as well as the very beginnings of Disney, and they've had more greats than they've had. They've had classics, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Mm-hmm. Then they had that terrible follow period. But then Great Mouse Detective came out. I was on board. And then Aladdin, and then Beauty and the Beast mm-hmm. and everything. And everybody goes, they're too big, they're too soulless.
We haven't gotten a Fox and the Hound in a while, which is
good. Right. Even the Broadway shows.
I know.
There's so much talent going on in there, and they put so much faith in their directors and their writers.
It almost feels like they're going back to what Walt Disney did, which is, I'm going to collect the most talented people.
Right, and I'm going to let them go.
Let them do their thing.
Yeah. They did not have to do Winter Soldier. They could have just repeat. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. They could have just do the same as before.
Yeah, they could. They didn't have to listen to the people at Marvel. And the people at Marvel were like, no, this is the plan. This is how we should be doing it. Mm-hmm. And
Even the writer-director of Iron Man 3 who said, I'm going to do Kiss Kiss Bang Bang 2 with Robert Downey Jr. And Robert Downey Jr. is going, yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And they'll go ahead.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little worried about, the whole Edgar Wright situation, but not a lot, with Ant-Man.
Right,
taking
him
off Ant-Man. But then again, they've proven themselves over and over again, and that's also why I'm hopeful for Star Wars and all the rest of it, because they have a level of quality that is unseen in Hollywood since the days of the studios.
Yeah, it's cool to see, and I
look at who they bought.
Yeah,
Lucasfilm, Pixar,
right.
Marvel,
and look how Pixar and Disney are jockeying in the animation area. Mm-hmm. I mean, just Frozen. I will defend Frozen.
It's a great film.
And the cartoon that precedes it, Fantastic. You know, to,
as soon as I saw that, I was right on the podcast. Yeah. Like, this is all amazing.
No, no, you talked me into seeing it. I wasn't going to see it.
Wreck-It Ralph, it should have won the Oscar over Brave. But that was Disney versus Pixar again. Mm-hmm. And right. They're short same films company. Alone.
Yeah, they don't care. They've got a winner in every camp.
Yeah, somebody goes, Disney, you know, and they sniff, and I just put a pin right up. let me talk to you for a second.
Yeah, no, they've really turned it around.
I'm there.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm excited for it. And then, of course, Get On Up, the James Brown story. What's his name, Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah. And Dan Aykroyd.
Craig Robinson's in it.
Yeah.
I hope this is what this Chadwick Boseman guy just does. Just make. I liked 42. I thought he was very good as Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. And James Brown, which.
Hope it's worthy of James Brown.
Yeah. It looks like it so far. I mean, it's a good trailer.
Let's hope.
It's a good trailer.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And then a little indie film coming out, Calvary, about a priest.
Is there some way we can do a verbal shrug? Because none of us know about this.
I have no clue.
We have no clue. You shouldn't even have mentioned it.
Because
it's just making us look stupid.
Well, here's the thing. With Calvary is just one of these indie films, and it's just, you know, it stars, I'll bring it up here.
Don't bother. Come on.
Anybody
write into them and say if they care about this.
Well, it's starring Brendan Gleeson. Someone does care.
That's true. This is a UK film.
It's a UK film. John Michael McDonough. He basically, he's a priest who threatens during a confession, so then he's got to battle dark forces. So I can't tell if this is like a really wonderful, touching, emotional, like, a spiritual man who's got to make tough decisions, or if it's just like
some supernatural thriller,
or the priest is coming to town to clear house, or it's just like say your prayers. You know?
For one, will take the anger of the UK audience upon me by saying I don't care. I'm a shallow man who likes pretty pictures and colors and action.
I'm curious to see what this is like. So. All right, guys. Well, that is our episode. Thank you so much. Rick Myers, where can people find you on the internet?
Your worst nightmare.
That's right.
I'm rickmyers.com, RICMEYERS. Leave the K off for karma. I continue my martial arts and media column that I had in Inside Kung Fu for many years with the latest reviews. You can email me with any Kung Fu film questions or even Kung Fu questions, because now I'm a teacher of Kung Fu, not martial arts, although I can teach you to fight in 5 minutes, at kungfurickmyers@gmail.com.
So you have a Teach You to Fight crash course?
It's literally 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I can teach you to fight. Then you have to do your homework, which will take longer, but it'll be worth it.
So it's like Fight Club. Like, you got to go out and pick
fights. It is far, far from Fight Club. We talk about Rick Myers' Fight Club. Highest form of Kung Fu, not to fight. Make your enemy your friend. My most effective technique, you seem upset, can I buy you a beer?
Right.
There we go. But this is actual. If somebody is so stupid as to attack you, we have a ready-made method where you can fell them like a tree.
Nice. And, of course, your book that we carry at the Comedy Film
Store.
Oh, you still do?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Films of Fury, the Kung Fu Movie book. Mm-hmm. Films of Fury, the Kung Fu Movie movie.
And also we have a martial arts gift pack where we not only have Rick Myers' book, but we also have Eric Jacobus' feature, Death Grip.
Death Grip.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to have the collection soon.
Yeah, we're going to have the collection soon, so we'll get that in the store.
I'm telling you people out there, you have... Once that goes up in the store, get it without question.
I'm telling you guys, search out The Stunt People. That's his group. He's assembled this team of amazing martial artists and stunt performers.
And even more important, actors.
Actors.
And comedians.
They're really solid. I think you'd call them martial art entertainers.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, it's so inventive what he's doing. So you gotta check him out. And really, we talked about Rope-A-Dope a year ago, and now there's a DVD we're going to have soon that you can see it.
And we'll be showing Rope-A-Dope 2 next year.
Rope-A-Dope is a great movie, too, where it's also family-friendly.
Yep.
It's great. Like, I watched it, my wife watched it, my kids watched it, everybody loved it.
Yeah. And I was astonished. I was yelling at him yesterday because I accidentally put on Rope-A-Dope again. But still the greatest reaction. And I said, when I was coming out of the audience, I got in his face and went, twice, it's working twice.
It was. I've seen that movie probably three or four times, and I had all of the same reactions last night that I had
he's
the first
so
time.
He's so smart.
Yeah, he's
I'm so probably smart. Like between, close to 10, because I when people come over, I show it. Like I yeah. Neil and I watched it.
Yeah, I do that too.
The kids and watch once with my wife. And then,
It's always a short over, subject between the kung fu movie of the night. Yeah. I do kung fu movie nights at home. And I always, rope-a-dope, here we go.
Check it out. Yep. Check it out. All right, guys, so...
we're going to go con it.
We're going to go con it up. Yeah, so, of course, LA Podfest, September 26th to the 28th. Hotel rooms are going fast. We've sold out over more than half of them.
Yeah. Oh, and the link works, too, now.
The link is back up to the hotel. There was a problem on Sofitel's end, but we've got that fixed.
Yeah, yeah. They've got it fixed.
They've got it fixed, yeah. It was their thing. They had to fix it.
Yeah, so it's all set. And like you said, we still have half the inventory, but the schedule is going to be announced soon. So.
And there's also, if you want to buy hard tickets, there's a link on our website.
Not yet, but there will be.
There will be when this drops on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it'll be there. Mm-hmm. Check that out, guys, because if you buy your hard ticket through comedyfilmers.com, we get a little taste, obviously, but we also run the festival.
Yeah.
So that helps.
So don't worry too much about it.
Don't worry
too much. Just buy the ticket. Doesn't matter.
Buy some tickets. Yeah. We've added more sponsors, and which means more parties and more free food and drinks.
Some cool new sponsors, too, like Trunk Club.
Yeah.
We're really excited about having over. And Audible, for the first time, is coming on board.
They're sponsoring the live video streaming, which we're going to do.
We're going to be announcing details on that soon. Yeah. It's going to be really exciting.
You're going to be able to watch every show.
Yeah, at the festival. At you can't make it, guess what? You're still going to be able to see the festival.
Yeah, and if you come, you will meet Sanai. Big fan Japan.
Yes.
Coming over to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
Russell. Is Russell coming?
Russell might come. I don't know.
I could have sworn you said, are we going to wrestle?
We can.
Wrestle the Australian miner.
If a sponsor pays for it, we'll do whatever you want.
The Chinese government says we have to.
That's right.
I know Aaron is coming. I know Vanessa's coming, and they're all going to meet for the first time in person, and we will film it for earbuds.
Yay!
And then we will make them fight like a Real Housewives thing.
Right.
Okay, so it's going to be great. So check that out, you guys. Of course, at Comedy Film Nerds on the Twitters, the Comedy Film Nerds Facebook page. We are on Instagram as well.
Yeah, and you can see some of the comic book pics we've been putting up.
Yeah, we've been posting photos from the con, so let's check it out. All right, you guys, thank you once again to Rick Meyer.
Yay!
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Try it.
We're going to edit that out.